starting the race through baptism. And you saw today two candidates who joined our church on their journey in following Christ.
Amen.
That was a celebration.
Amen.
And April 21st is going to live in my mind forever, because here was the day where two new souls and myself in the pool at Tacoma Park. Never going to forget it. Now on Monday, the word on the street is that Monday night, the sermon on spiritual gifts was just out of this world. I was there teaching it. So you have to talk to someone else who heard it and ask them if it's true. Tuesday, we talked about Sabbath rest. We found that in Living with Hope, God makes time. He created time to spend with you. A date with Jesus every week. And we talked about how Adam and Eve had the privilege of fellowshipping with Jesus, fellowshipping with the Creator, and they traded it for what? We don't even know what it was. It's not an apple, because I use Apple products. I'm here to tell you it's not an apple, but they traded it for something. But yet God created the Sabbath, and he still spends time with us today. So when you are worshiping him and you're slowing down from your activities, you're actually receiving blessings that he's reserved for you today. Then on Wednesday, we talked about the sanctuary service. The sanctuary is actually where Jesus steps in and takes your sins, steps in as the mediator to make sure that you have eternal life. So we looked at the sanctuary doctrine. We did a quick survey. We didn't go into the nuts and bolts, but what you need to remember is that the sanctuary service in the Old Testament, it was gory. We talked about the fact that in the Old Testament, when you sin, you had to bring your goat. So the goat wasn't just born, it grew up with you. And you had to look at it in its brown eyes and bring it to the priest and go through that whole motion. Do you think that people were less inclined to do wickedness having to bring their own goat, knowing that the goat paid the price? Okay, you guys are a little bit quiet. Maybe it wouldn't affect you. Maybe because you don't have goats now. But we found out in the sanctuary service, Jesus stands in our place. And he mediates for us. Then last night, we talked about the spiritual disciplines. What does it take to stay growing in hope? We talked about meditation, which is not emptying your mind, but meditating on the Word of God, filling your mind with the Word. And we used an expression yesterday. Let me pause and talk about yesterday. How many here were here last night? So the word last night was that Pastor Joseph was going to bring some of his favorite, oh yes, someone's with me, favorite black rice. Do you know that yesterday when I stood in line at 6:30, some of the saints, don't look left, don't look right, didn't believe that the black rice was here. We talked about black rice all week long, and Pastor Joseph went out and got his favorite black rice, and last night we ate the black rice. And we talked about if you eat black rice really fast, if you don't take every spoonful and inhale, and then taste every grain of rice and the beans and the seasonings, someone's mouth is watering right now. Someone knows what I'm talking about. And we use that as an illustration to say when you meditate on the Word of God, you need to slow down and soak in every word. You don't rush through a meal. You shouldn't rush through the Bible. And then you should allow it to marinate. Right now, I'm still thinking about black rice. I'm going to set my timer right now because I'm not going to preach too long, because this pastor has got black rice somewhere hidden. Share? Oh, you got to live on that memory. You got to live on that memory. But the point that I'm trying to make is that when the word comes alive to you like that, and you allow the word to soak in your imagination and be a part of you, that's how the word transforms your life.
Yes.
That's what we talked about last night. Now today, mission of hope. Mission of hope. You're probably wondering, what did that rocket have to do? Before we read the sign, I want to let you know. In 1903, the Wilbur brothers flew the first airplane. 100 feet is as far as it went. 1903. Then somewhere after World War II, the space tow race began. I wasn't around there, but I heard it was pretty heated. You had the Russians who did what? They put Sputnik, is that how you say it? Sputnik in space first. Oh, that got us upset. We said, oh no, how dare they go into the sky first? So we had this wonderful president, President Kennedy, who came up with the quote, and he said that by the end of the decade, what would they do? They would put a man on the moon. Understand clearly that in 1903, we just started flying for 10 seconds. Kennedy had the audacity to believe that we would be able to not only leave the ground, we would leave the troposphere, the stratosphere, and go way out into space and land on the moon. Saturn V rocket. If anyone ever tells you that you carry a little bit too much. I know we heard about that in a sermon this morning about eating and being disciplined and all these things. I was listening. The Saturn V space rocket weighs six, let me do it in tons, because if I did pounds, number will blow you away, 2,938 tons. Let me give you an example. Your car weighs about a ton and a half. 2,938 tons. They built this vehicle from idea to getting on the moon in 11 years. Okay, you're not excited. We were just flying for 100 feet in 1903. In 11 years, Kennedy has this audacity to put us on the moon. They build a space rocket that weighs 2,938 tons. The power of that rocket was amazing. After church, after sunset, wait till the sun sets. It's about 7:42 for those who are counting. Go on YouTube and look up the Saturn V. That is an impressive machinery. Now, you're probably wondering, okay, it's a space rocket. How many of us wear athletic shoes? Okay. How many of us use freed dried foods? How many of us appreciate Velcro? How about cordless power tools and drills? Do you know that all these things were invented in order to get a man on the moon? Okay, someone's missing the point. America had a vision to put a man on the moon. They began to create things that never existed before. Create things like sneakers, Velcro, all these wonderful things, all to solve the problems that they were faced to put a man on the moon. And in 1969, they did it. Okay. Let me try to bring it closer to you, sister. America got together, united in one vision and one purpose. And when they got together with one vision and one purpose, they had this idea that they could put a man on the moon, and they worked every one of them. How many of us have seen Hidden Figures? Raise your hand. So you had people who were calculators, calculating the formulas. Then you had scientists, and you had all these people working together. They put a man on the moon. And then I asked myself, what would happen if our church worked together with the power of the Holy Spirit? Someone's getting where I'm going. We're going to talk about that today. Let me slow down. Here we go. Do you have purpose, Tacoma Park? Do you have vision, Tacoma Park? Do you want to put yourself on the moon? Now, Jesus had an outstanding ministry. There are two components to his ministry. I'm going to put it on the screen for you right here. What are the two components to Jesus' ministry? Jesus' ministry is our vision. what he is asking us to do is, in essence, the equivalent of putting a man on the moon. Let's see what it says here. I'll read the question for you. What are the two components of Jesus' ministry? Matthew 4, verses 23. And Jesus went through, help me out, Galilee, and he was doing what? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. Jesus preached and taught. That's one. The second component, he healed every disease and sickness amongst the people. We'll put it on the screen for you right here. The two components are preaching and teaching. Yes. So we had it in verse on my slide. So it's taking care of the physical needs and taking care of the spiritual needs. Now let's look at the next question. What are the two components? Which of the two components was Jesus's? I am so excited. As you can see, I'm tongue-tied, but let's read it together. Which of the two components was Jesus emphasizing on the disciples' first mission? Matthew 10, 7, and 8. We'll look at it on the screen. As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is what? Near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely you give. Tacoma Park, our mission, has two components. Just like for Kennedy, his mission to put a man on the moon, it was not only to put a man on the moon, but bring him back. Our mission has two components: to preach the gospel and teach the gospel, and also to have impact in the community. What are some of the traits of Jesus' followers? Matthew 25, 34 to 36. I'll put it on the screen. If you have your Bible with you, you can turn to it and you'll see it as well. It says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For what? When I was hungry, you did what? You gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me what? And when I was a stranger, you invited me in. When I needed clothes, you did what? You clothed me. When I was sick, you did what? Look after me. When I was in prison, you came to visit me. Jesus is painting a picture for us, and we're looking at it through Scripture. What are we supposed to be doing as a church? You notice that the people who inherit the kingdom of God are those who did what? Had impact in the community. And just to be clear, he outlines the things that you're supposed to do. When you see someone in need, guess what? You meet that need. You see someone that's sick, guess what? You go visit them. Now, is that just the job of a few people in church? Imagine with me if only 10 engineers at NASA decided that we're going to the moon and everyone else went to the break room. Do you suppose that we would have gotten to the moon in 11 years? No. Everyone's working at this together. Let's keep going. Now, Jesus gives us instructions on how to meet the spiritual needs. Let's look at it right here. How did Jesus state the mission to meet the spiritual needs? Let's look at Luke 24, verses 47. Repentance and forgiveness of sins, help me out here, will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Of all these things, I went ahead. The world needs to know that God provides them an opportunity to start afresh. You see, right now, many people in the world think that once they've made a bad decision, that's it. Their life's over. Depression, all these issues, drug addiction, all these things, all because people are wrestling, can I be accepted just the way that I am? And the Bible tells us that, listen, God's offering repentance and forgiveness of sins. Not only that, we found out earlier during the week that God created everyone in his image. The world needs to know that. That's taking care of their spiritual needs. Now, not only do you take care of people's spiritual needs, there's another thing that we're supposed to do. Let's look at this question. What does Matthew call the process of inviting people to follow Jesus? Matthew 28, verses 19. I'll put it on the screen for you. Therefore, go and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So God is telling us we're supposed to go out and preach and teach. Then we're supposed to have impact in the community. And then we're supposed to bid people to follow Christ. All three components make for our mission the equivalent of putting a man on the moon. Now let's look at this. There's a gentleman by the name of Charles Schwartz. He's been studying churches, thousands of churches over the years, and he's come out with this philosophy called needs-oriented evangelism. You see, because during the space race, there were many attempts to go to the moon. Not every rocket made it very high. Some rockets went up about 10 feet and then blew up. Look at it on YouTube. It's phenomenal because those explosions were huge. They were kept. I just like looking at it. It looks like a giant firework. But anyway, that's besides the point. But the point is that many attempted to go. There were many progresses. But there are certain qualities that were found in the Saturn V rocket that made it so that it could go the distance. And so here we're going to look at certain qualities that a church has that is going places. We're going to look at eight characteristics.
It's phenomenal because those explosions were...
Passionate spirituality is the first characteristic. So for those taking notes in your handout, feel free to write. Who did Jesus say would empower his followers in their mission? Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verses 8. But you will what? Receive power from the Holy when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be what? My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the world. I remember several weeks ago, I stood up here and we were talking about the Acts model. The Holy Spirit comes in to help you be a Christian first at home. Home is the toughest place to witness because they see you 24/7. You stub your toe, whatever comes out, they see you. When someone gets on your nerves, someone calls, when you answer the phone and you roll your eyes, your kids see you. So the Holy Spirit is there to help you be Christ-like when no one is looking except for your family members. Then your neighbors, they see you. When you're throwing out the trash and the thing falls out of the trash can and you don't pick it up, they see that. And then they see you rush to church on Sabbath morning. They see that. They see your car as you're driving, and when you cut someone off, they see that. The Holy Spirit is here to help you be consistent in your neighborhood. And then also when we look at the ends of the world, throughout the United States, throughout the entire world. Passionate spirituality. Now, I got to pause here just a little bit longer. When the Holy Spirit fills you, he drives you to mission. You cannot sit still if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was here for 3.5 years, and if you look at his ministry, he walked all over the place. He couldn't sit still. So if you find yourself in church for 5-10 years and you're sitting and you're comfortable, you need to check if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Passionate spirituality. What does the Bible say about Christians getting together with one another? Hebrews 10 verses 24 to 25. And it reads, "And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds." Let's keep reading. "Let us not give up" what? "Meeting together, as some are in habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." This is what we are doing here. When you get together and you worship collectively, I don't know about you, but when we were singing those praise songs, I felt transported in a different space. I feel encouraged. I'm worshiping, and not only am I worshiping, but I know that God is here because he said that he would bless the seventh day. So as I'm worshiping him and giving him praise, I'm taking part in an act that even the angels take part in. The angels still worship God. And so by coming together as a church, you have passionate spirituality, you have inspiring worship. Those are two of the qualities that you need to have impact along those two areas that we talked, spiritual and physical needs. Let's keep going. What are some tools that the early believers used in worship to come into God's presence? Once again, in this series, we've been letting the Bible speak for itself. So aside from my commentaries, everything is coming straight from the Bible. Ephesians 5, verses 19. Speak to one another in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. This is what the early Christians were doing. And guess what? This is what we're still doing today.
Psalms, hymns, and spiritual song. Sing and make music.
Got to tell you a story of a young man. There's a young man who was growing up in the neighborhood. He was a guy connected to the internet. He had the latest smartphone. In this story, we're not going to say Android or iPhone. We're going to leave those details out. We don't need to talk about those details. But he was a young man. He was connected. He had high-speed internet. He had a computer. He was in his apartment. Now, what made him different is that he spent a lot of time by himself. So he'd go to work. He comes home. He goes on the internet. And he had no friends in the community. In fact, his neighbors did not know his name. His neighbors really didn't know much about him. They just knew that he got up early in the morning and he went home late at night. One day, they didn't see him go up to work. He didn't come home that night. That day turned to a second day, a third day, a fourth day, and a fifth day. By the fifth day, the apartment complex started to smell different. The man passed away. And no one knew. He was in isolation. He was not connected. His family members didn't know. And when someone found out, someone just called the police to say, look, there's a strange odor coming from that apartment. And that's when they broke in and they found a young man sitting there. He had committed suicide. Connection is important. And the church gives you an opportunity to connect. Okay, you guys are a little quiet. Let's keep going here. We'll put this on the board. This is Pastor Asa. You're going to love this. In what other forms did the followers of Jesus meet? Acts chapter 2, 46 and 47. I'll put it on the screen. Each day they did what? Continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There's something powerful about a church where people get together, not just on Saturday, but during the week, breaking bread. If I were to write this translation, I would say eating black rice. There's something special about 3 and 12 people getting together, because right now, as you sit here in church, there's probably 300 of us here. The person sitting all the way to the right, you don't know who they are. They don't know who you are. The person all the way to the left, you don't know who they are. But if we as a church made time to connect like the early church. Okay, let me try to make this plain. My wife and I, we did a tour of Maryland. We went in and we looked at various sites. My in-laws are right here. So we went and looked at various sites. And one site that we went to was this baseball field. In Maryland, there was these, help me out here, Sandlot teams. Does that ring a bell to anyone here? Okay, Pastor Wright knows what I'm talking about. The Sandlot teams were baseball teams. There were people who didn't make it to the majors. They didn't make it to AAA, but they would get together during the summer months and they would play baseball. And they would play baseball in farm fields. They would just clear out the dirt and they would clear out a spot. They'd play in parking lots and they would play these games. The whole community used to come out.
And then there, when you went to these games, you got to know people. People didn't stay at home on the internet, surfing the internet, reading the news. They went out every weekend. That's where you found out what's happening. If you were a young man, you went to those games. Because when you're 16 to 18, you're planning your future. So that's where you find the nice people that you're going to hook up with for the rest of your life, right? You're a young lady, you're dressing nice because all the young men, the athletes are all there. But what we found out, and this is just me thinking, back then the community was connected. Because everyone got together and everyone knew what was going on. Today we don't have that luxury because many people, as soon as the service is over, you're going to run home, spend time with your own family, and here at Tacoma Park, we're not connected. Oh, I got to be careful. Brother Thompson was looking at me. He said, don't say it. So I won't say it. But when we leave here for 7 days, and we're not connecting, we're missing out. Do you suppose that the engineers could have put a man on the moon if they only met once a week for 2 hours? Let me just go up there, Pastor Wright. I'm just going to stand up here. I'm not going to deviate from the notes too much. I know it's my home church, but I have to be careful. Everything that I'm saying it in love. Functional structure. Who was the head of the church? We're going to just stick to the notes. Colossians 1 verses 18. And he is the what? Head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. I am so glad that it is God who's the head of the church. We're talking about another quality that gets a church to the moon. Functional structure. But the structure isn't based on a pastor. It's not Pastor Kosey. It's not Pastor Chris. It's not any of the pastors. But it's God being the head. Let's look at the next question. Where is this mission of hope to go? Revelation 14 verses 6. Put it on the screen. Then I saw another what? Angel flying in midair. And he had an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth. To every what? Nation. To every tribe, every language, and every people. God's mission is even more epic than NASA's mission. NASA was just to get 3 people on the moon and bring them back. God is saying, I'm going to spread my kingdom around the entire world. Every language, every tongue. Now, I can help you out, Tacoma Park. I speak English and French. Bonjour, comment ça va? Ça va très bien? So I can reach 2 people groups. But there's someone in here that speaks other languages. And right now, as we are speaking, there are people watching. I heard yesterday that we had people in Europe watching the series. So right now, we are doing what the angel is doing. We're spreading the gospel throughout the entire world. You get to be a part of a church that has a global reach. Okay, I'll just be excited over here by myself. Let me come back. So we find out that God is the head of the church. We have a functional structure. So all the ministries and departments that work together in church, all of us are supposed to be working for one common goal. And now let's talk about leadership, empowering leadership. How did Jethro suggest that Moses changes his leadership style? Exodus 18, verses 18 to 22. Moses, one of the greatest leaders of all times, had to lead a lot of people in the wilderness. And Moses found himself in a situation where everyone who had an issue had to come to him. So Jethro, who was not an Israelite, came up and gave him wise counsel. Let's take a look at it. It says here, you and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice that may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. We'll keep reading. Teach them the decrees and the laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select capable men. Select capable men from all the people, men who fear God,
trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain and appoint them as officials over what? Thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as what? Judges for all the people at all times. But have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share in it with you. Churches that succeed have a way of dividing the workload. It's not 10 people carrying all the work of the church. It's everyone involved. Everyone taking a part, because what we want to avoid is a situation of burnout. As I described before, if 10 engineers had to plan this whole thing, how many 100-hour weeks could you put in before you start saying, I've had enough? And so the Bible gives us clear counsel here that in our church, churches that are successful about going about the mission, they have empowering leadership, members teaming up with leaders, accomplishing the vision of God. Now I'm going to get to my favorite part right here. Gift-oriented ministries. What are some of the spiritual gifts that God gives his followers? 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 31. We'll put this on the screen for you. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles. Also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with the gift of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak tongues? Do all interpret, but eagerly desire greater gifts? We found out this week that every human being has between 500 to 700 skills and abilities. This week, if you were here at the series, I told you when you write your resume, list them all. Someone's like, wait, I don't know. Well, you need to know yourself. You've got 500 to 700 unique gifts that God places in you. And the chances of you finding someone with the same gift sets as you is 10 to the 24th power. You know how that makes me feel? That there's no one else in the world that is just like me. There'll be someone that's better at me than certain things, someone that's worse at me than certain things, but no one with the unique combination that God has given me. And God has placed all of these gifts in all of us, so that together we can accomplish the impossible. We found out this week that with the spiritual gifts, when God places you here at Tacoma Park, you are just as important as a pinky toe. Now someone's going to get it. What happens to you when you're getting ready in the morning and you're getting dressed really fast, and you rush out your room and you stub your pinky toe? You begin to see things. You begin to feel things. That toe that was not so important before is now the most important part of your body. That toe will have you on the ground, shivering, sucking your thumb if necessary. Someone knows what I'm talking about. And so Paul uses the illustration that the church is like a body, which means everyone is important, like the pinky toe. So what happens if you are in your church and you decide to leave and go someplace else? The church is missing its pinky toe. There's no other pinky toe. There's no other you. God placed you here because he needs you here so that this church can get on the move.
And spiritual song. Sing and make music.
Let me stick right here. All right. Let's talk about the next. Loving relationships. Loving relationships. What should the community of Jesus' followers be known for. John 13, verses 35. I'll put it on the screen. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you do what?
Love
one another. One of the greatest mysteries is the fact that in this church, when you look left and right, we have everyone from different backgrounds. Some are from Haiti. Some are from a different island. Some are from the States. Someone's from overseas. And all of us are doing what? Worshiping God together. This thing blows the mind of the world that people of different social economical statuses, different cultural backgrounds can come together as one and worship God and work together. The Bible says here that the way the world that they will know us is that we love one another. Loving relationships. What does the Bible say is one thing that we all have in common, regardless of our backgrounds? Romans 3, 10 to 12. Put it on the screen. And it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away and have become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. So we are bound by commonality. All have sinned. Now some may say, well, my sin is not as bad as so-and-so's. In God's eyes, sin is sin. But I'm so glad that the Bible doesn't leave us there. We all have sinned, which means that all of us are on the same footing. There's no one that's special. There's no one that's a cut above. Even if you've been in church for 10 years, I tried that last night. I was preaching, and I said that I don't speed. An elder looked at me, and a gaze in his eye said, Pastor, you're up front. And I had to quickly come to terms that maybe I didn't speed that day, but a month ago I had a little letter from the Maryland state of DMV or whatever, where in one area, saints, before you judge me, it was only 9 miles over the speed limit, okay? Some of you guys go 20 over, okay? But we all have sinned, and we've all come short. And we need to be honest with ourselves. Now, the Bible gives us hope. What has Jesus done for us? Romans 6, verses 6 through 8. And it says here, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. What sets us apart is simply that, let me keep reading, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be what? Done away with. And we should no longer be slave to sin. Let's keep going. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we are also alive with him. This is the good news that we need to get out to the world. It's not enough that you keep it to yourself. We read in the Bible, we were studying this during the week, that God has gone up to heaven to prepare a place for us, right? And I shared with you last week, I said clearly, the beauty of the gospel is that you get to pick your neighbors. You like someone here on earth, they're nice, they're cool, share the gospel with them. Guess what? They may be next to you. And if they're not next to you in heaven, you run, you never get tired, so you can see them. You can run to their mansion and you can see them. Then I also said to you that if you don't like someone on earth, share the gospel with them. Because guess what? While you're here on earth, God will change them into his image, all the characters, so you don't suffer here, and then you enjoy their company in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great? So we have a motive, a high motive, to spread the gospel. You spread the gospel to the people you like, so they can be in heaven with you, and you spread the gospel to the people you don't like, so God can change their characters here, and they can also enjoy you in heaven. You got to find ways to be motivated to do God's work. That's what motivates me. And so I'm not suggesting to you, if you're watching online, if pastor's talking to you, that means you fall in one of those two camps. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying we need to spread the gospel. Let's keep going here. So, going back to the rocket analogy, I described to you the Saturn V that weighs how many tons? 2,938 tons. The Saturn V rocket was powered by a computer. I forget which company makes it, but that computer was pretty advanced for its time. It had to make all these calculations to get a line and the trajectory and so forth. I'm going to reach into my pocket right now, and I'm going to grab a phone. We're not going to name the phone. It's just a phone, but I'm going to grab a phone, and I'm doing this to show you something. The computer that put a man on the moon has less power than the computer that I'm holding in my hand. Someone's going to get this. The computer, Karen, that put a man on the moon has less power than the computer that I have in my hand. We live in a time now that the impossible is possible because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. If man could put a man on the moon with a computer that's slower than this, how much work could I do for God with this little, and it's not even the latest and greatest, Pastor Wright. It's not even the iPhone 10. Oh, I said it, iPhone. It's not even the iPhone 10. The message in this Living with Hope, Tacoma Park Church, God has placed us here for a special reason. And he's got big dreams for Tacoma Park. He's got big dreams for this church. He's got big dreams for your life. And he's got big dreams for the whole world. And he's asking you to be a part of his team. This whole 2 weeks, we've been talking about different aspects of the gospel, hopefully getting you excited to do what God has designed you to do. This is just the beginning. And we've been looking at our sermonic series, Purpose, Passion, Power, and Victory. This is just the beginning. And my appeal simply is this. We're going to put this on the screen. Today, you've got an insert in your bulletin. And I want you to, in this insert, pull it out. You're going to put your name. You're going to put your address. You're going to put your email address. You're going to put your phone number. The only choice for today is I want to become a what?
Active
member of this church. I want you to underline active. Because in order for us to do what God is dreaming for this church, it's going to take every single one of us working together to get this church on the moon. And God is counting on you. And the reward is for doing what God designed you to do is you get to spend eternity celebrating with God. Is that amazing? Is that amazing? Church, it has been a privilege to be on this journey with you. It is my prayer that just as these series has transformed my outlook on ministry, that this has not just been an exercise, but this has truly impacted your life. I will never forget these last 2 weeks as long as I live. And it is my prayer that you never forget these 2 weeks as well. How many of us are willing to make that commitment today and now that I will be an active member of this church because of the global reach? I just want you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. God sees every hand. This year, God has placed dreams in you with your abilities, and he's going to be tapping you on the shoulder and inspiring you to create new things like the Velcro. Tacoma Park's going to have its own Velcro. Tacoma Park is going to have its own dried foods. Tacoma Park's going to have its own sneakers. What am I talking about? This church, in this congregation, are the solutions of all the challenges that we are currently facing. And God is going to inspire you. And you're going to contribute to this team. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to say, well done, faithful servant. Amen. Let us stand. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this journey that you have brought us on. And Lord, as I'm standing here as a broken vessel, my prayer is simply this. Lord, we want to be an active part of your global church. Amen. Lord, you've promised your Holy Spirit. You've been here for the last 2,000 years. And we know we are living where we are in Earth's history. But Lord, at Tacoma Park, we want a double portion of the spirit that has been here before. We want a double portion so we can go about the work that you have called us to do. Lord, I pray that the decisions that have been made to be an active member at the church, Lord, seal those decisions. And Lord, as we continue this journey of studying the word, it is our desire that we continue making disciples. It is my prayer that this baptismal pool stays full all the time. It is my prayer that this baptismal pool stays with pastors going in and out and baptizing people, making disciples. Lord, we know that you can do the impossible. And so we're giving you permission to do the impossible here. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You may be seated.